John 6. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats the bread will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are those who do not believe." But Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the ones that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned their back and no longer went with him. So Jesus asked the 12 disciples, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One God." The word of our Lord for the children of the Lord. Please be seated. Now, unfortunately for you guys, I'm long-winded, so we're here for 5 minutes. The book of John, right? You got to love the book of John. And this is the reason why I love the book of John. Scholars have put book of John written somewhere between 80 to 90 years after Jesus has died. It is the youngest of the gospel. The only book younger than book of John in New Testament is the book of Revelations. So John has the added ability to take everything that happened for over two generations growing up with the Holy Spirit and put it all together. It's beautiful. What John talks about and John preaches about is the Holy Spirit. The one that comes down from the Pentecost, the one that comes into us, our guide or our advocate, the one who is what enters us every time we do the Eucharist celebration. Jesus knew it was coming. But here's the problem, right? Jesus goes up to all these Jewish people, and he just got done feeding 5,000 people. I want that, right? 5,000 people. He says, I'm like, let me give you an hour and later. No, it's like 5,000 people. So they're all thinking what? Moses, right? Manna in the wilderness, correct? How God provided, God provided, God provided, God provided, right? And Jesus says to him, wasn't Moses. Moses didn't give you the manna. God gave you the manna. And now people are like, take a step back. And Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. You have to eat me to get into heaven, right? Some people are like, what the heck? Jesus. Didn't our kids play together? They thought they knew Jesus, but they didn't. And they were still grumbling and complaining about that, but here's the kicker. Here's what Jesus really does that really makes them mad. He says, I am the bread of life. All right. You guys know the Moses story, right? When Moses was trying to trick God into revealing his name, what did he say? I am. Jesus just told all these Jewish people that he's God. That he's the Son of God. He finally revealed. This is the big reveal. Jesus comes out there and just And he said this. They couldn't handle it. See, some of the followers were following Jesus because Jesus did some cool tricks, right? Make blind man see. My favorite is water into wine. All these cool things, right? So they were following and watched the cool things. Then you had those who were following because Jesus gave you things like food and alms and stuff like that. And others were following because they expected Jesus to draw a sword and fight the Romans. They wanted rebellion. They wanted things. But Jesus isn't about that. Right? Jesus isn't about that. Jesus is about unconditional love. See, this passage isn't about cannibalism. It's about trust. Do you trust the Lord? Faith. They didn't have trust that Jesus was going to provide for them. See, we have the added benefit of over 2,000 years, and we know the whole story. So you have to take John's gospel in full in order to understand what you're talking about. What? Jews didn't have that back then. Jesus came out like a rock star. Turned everything upside down. But then when Jesus laid that on them, they just couldn't handle it. But see, the 12 disciples knew that they gave everything to Jesus. See, the Eucharist celebration is that we abide in Christ and Christ in us. We just enter the spirit of food into our body so we can be one and commune with the Lord. Deeper. Jesus is what? Our teacher? Our physician? Our leader that we follow? But all those things are separate. Those are things we do separate from Jesus. Communion, Eucharist, such a deep, deep connection to our Lord. And next week we're going to get that. I had the privilege of being able to baptize a 14-year-old girl who had both her legs amputated and she was dying of bone cancer. Her family brings her into the sanctuary. And we prepare the font. We prepare the ceremony. And this girl is being carried on the back of her best friend in the church. I want you to picture this now. Two young teenage girls, one riding piggyback and another girl walking up to the front, to the font. And she's smiling. Now, you know the response, right? I say something, you say something back, I say something, it's all written nice and neat for us so we can't make mistakes. This little girl, this 14-year-old girl, didn't even look at the paper. Every question was asked to her, she answers honestly from her heart. It was the most genuine baptism I've ever been in my life. And after that, we did the Eucharist celebration. And after that, she was dancing up and down with her friend. They were singing, playing on the organ. And her mom was freaking out. Oh, no. But laughter, children's laughter, is hymns to God. Listening to children laugh is a hymn to God. 3 months later, I participated in this young lady's funeral. She passed away from bone cancer. And as I was sitting up there, getting ready to deliver the scripture, I started to cry. The words were stuck. And God said, "Ron, it's okay. I got this. She's with me." Now, think about this for a second. There are 60,000 people in our local area that do not know this kind of love. Can you imagine what would happen if that 14-year-old girl was never invited to church? Communion means that our thoughts are God's. Our actions are God's. We act like God. And that is unconditional love. There's 60,000 people that don't know that. They don't have that in their hearts. That breaks my heart. How can we let 60,000 people not know this love? My challenge to each and every single one of you this week, every single one of you, and yeah, you too, tap and invite. Next week, Pastor Bruce is going to do communion. We are going to celebrate the Eucharist celebration. We are going to become one with God. Wouldn't it be cool if the person you invited did that too with you? Wouldn't it be cool if you invite one person and they show up with you? See, God's not asking you to make converts. He's asking you to show unconditional love to Him and to others. What was His commandment? The second of these are, love your neighbor as you love yourself. This is what the Eucharist celebration is all about. Abiding in God and God abiding in us allows us to live in each other. Shouldn't we share that? Don't you want to share that with the world? Don't you want to share that blessing? The whole thing about unconditional love is that the more you give, the more you receive. It's the only gift I know that comes back to you 10,000 times harder. And I'm not talking that old vase that you backed up and gave to your sister who gave your sister, and then three Christmases later you ended up with it, all right? We're not talking about that kind of gifting. We're talking about unconditional love. And let's give that. Let's fill these pews with people who don't have a church home. Go out, tap, invite. I know some of you that's outside your comfort zone. It's outside my comfort zone. I can't go out and talk to strangers. No, that's not true. I've never met a stranger, just strange people, and I'm the strangest person you're ever going to meet. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I appreciate these people, and I appreciate that you allowed me the opportunity on this day to speak to them with your word. I ask that you empower each and every single one of them so they know that is the Holy Spirit speaking through them. From you, through them, to the 60,000 that need your word. I pray that their hearts are filled, that they are blessed, and that they go daily, may choose this day to be with you and one with you. And all God's people said, Amen.